Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods FY 2019 results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO, and Drew O'Malley, our Chief Operating Officer for Australia. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the year, which was the 52-week period to the 28th of April 2019. The full-year results for Collins Foods show strong revenue and earnings growth. Revenue was up 16.9% from 771 million to 901 million. The increase in revenue was driven by positive comp sales growth for KFC Australia, as well as building and opening new restaurants, along with the completion of the final three remaining restaurants acquired from Yum! EBITDA for the year was up 20.3% on an underlying basis from 94.5 million to 113.7 million, reflecting strong flow-through from the additional revenue. Underlying NPAT was 45 million, up 15.7% on prior year. During the year, there were a number of significant items, mainly relating to the impairment of some restaurants. The details are reflected on slide two of the company presentation, and I will talk more to the restaurant impairment during the call. Net operating cash flow was 97.5 million, up 23 million on prior year due to higher EBITDA and some working capital benefit during the year. Net debt decreased 14.7 million to 212.5 million due to the strong operating cash flow, and the net leverage ratio dropped from 2.14 in the previous year to 1.87. Underlying basic earnings per share was 0.386, up from 0.3384 per share at the prior year. A fully franked dividend of 0.105 per share will be paid for the half, taking the full-year dividend payout to 0.195 per share, up 14.7% on prior year. I'd now like to take you through the operational highlights by brand. Our core KFC business in Australia had a strong year. Total revenue growth was up 15.8%, with EBITDA margin up 70 basis points. Same-store sales growth across KFC Australia was 3.7%, reflecting a strong second half. We've expanded the number of restaurants offering delivery through an aggregator to around 64, and we built and opened seven new KFC restaurants in Australia during the year. In Europe, we had a challenging year, with same-store sales being -3.7%. This was mainly due to new product and value campaigns being less successful than prior year. There are a number of sales initiatives currently in play to redress the sales decline, and I'll talk to these in more detail during the call. Four new restaurants were built and opened in Europe during the year. We successfully opened our third and fourth Taco Bell restaurants during the second half of FY 2019, bringing the total restaurant count to four. Overall restaurant-level sales and profits are in line with expectations. A further 10 restaurants are expected to be open before the end of the financial year. Sizzler Australia delivered positive same-store sales growth of 4.4% with good profit flow-through. A further two restaurants were closed during FY 2019, one in the second half of the year, bringing our restaurant count as of the end of the year or year-end to 12. A further restaurant closed subsequent to year-end. Sizzler Asia sales and earnings continued to grow, and FY 2019 saw an additional four net new restaurants being opened. Now looking at each of the brands in more detail. Turning first to KFC Australia. In terms of overall performance, KFC Australia had a great year, delivering substantial growth during the year with revenue and profits both up on the prior year. Total revenue was up 15.8% to 722 million. Same-store sales growth for the full year was 3.7%, with all states showing positive same-store sales growth. This reflects a strong 4.2% same-store sales growth in the second half of the year. We continue to see momentum in our sales with comps in the two periods post the year-end trading at 3.4%. KFC Australia EBITDA grew by 20.9% from $99.3 million to $120 million, with an overall EBITDA margin of 16.6%, up 70 basis points from 15.9% in the prior year, due to strong sales growth and disciplined margin control. We built and opened 7 new restaurants during the year, closed 2 restaurants, and completed the acquisition of the final 3 stores as part of the Yum acquisition. The year-end restaurant count was 231. We have opened 2 additional restaurants subsequent to year-end. The KFC brand continues to have a broad appeal across customer segments, combining powerful innovations around core products with strong and consistent value offers to drive frequency. A few of the standout products launched during the year were the Hot and Spicy Boneless Wings and the Zinger Stacker. Strong value promotions like the $2 chips and $10 popcorn keep the brand relevant and affordable. Strong performance in KFC Australia continues to stem from our tight focus around delivery, digital, and core store operations. Delivery is now offered in 64 restaurants with aggregators Deliveroo and Menulog. We continue to see robust growth in this channel, especially in metro and more densely populated trade zones. Our digital efforts have been centered on the KFC app, which continues to show steady, promising growth supported by app-only offers. The KFC app is now the number one rated app in food and beverage in Australia. Digital is and will remain a strategic focus for the brand, and we will continue to invest in digital touchpoints, like point of sale, external menu boards, and more. In operations, our relentless focus on speed of service over the past year has paid off with higher sales during peak time, as well as higher guest satisfaction scores. We are continuing our investment in modernization and automation of operating systems, including advanced rostering, as well as tablets to support smoother running of shifts. Our new restaurant program continues to drive growth. A total of 7 new restaurants are built and opened during the year, including 6 in Queensland and 1 in Western Australia. Our remodel program is also critical to keep the brand fresh and relevant. To this end, 41 remodels were completed across the network, with an overall capital spend of approximately $23 million for the year. We continue to look at opportunities to unlock capacity during the course of these remodels, for example, by adding dual drive-through lanes. We are expecting to build between 9 and 10 new restaurants in FY20. I will now turn to our European business. We currently have 37 KFC restaurants in Europe. Of these, 17 are in Germany and 20 in the Netherlands. 4 new restaurants were opened in the financial year. Sales across our European business was substantially below our expectations. The underperformance of key new product promotion campaigns, specifically in the Netherlands, and fewer and less compelling value offers across both markets had a marked impact. A number of changes and actions have been initiated, and both markets have responded positive, with Germany achieving positive same-store sales in each of the last 3 periods, and the Netherlands having a positive same-store sales for the first 8 weeks of the new financial year. I'll talk to these initiatives shortly. There was a marked impact on EBITDA resulting from sales deleverage. The P&L was further impacted by the opening costs of 4 new restaurants and the temporary closure of some restaurants due to remodeling. Damrak, which is our big store in Amsterdam, was closed for 5 weeks for a major upgrade and had a significant impact. Of the 9 restaurants Collins have built and opened in Europe, 4 are not achieving the sales level required and are having a fairly significant impact on the P&L. Consequently, we have taken a non-cash impairment for these restaurants and we'll be assessing our options with a view to closing a couple of these restaurants during the coming year. As communicated in our previous update, we have slowed down our build programs in Germany as we redirect our focus from inline restaurants in city centres to the more profitable drive-through restaurants in the surrounding areas. A new group financial system has recently been implemented in Europe, and this will allow us to continue to simplify the back office processing and improve its overall efficiency. The KFC brand positioning in Germany is undergoing a significant strategic shift, with value now permanently at the core of the brand positioning. Value at the core as opposed to couponing and discounting has been the main driver behind the success in numerous other KFC markets. In support of this, a national brand refresh campaign was rolled out at the start of June. This refresh campaign underpinned the national launch on national TV of a strong value meal, a 5 for 5 euro box. Further to this, in support of the value positioning, a snacking layer called KFC Goodies was launched earlier this year in April. This snacking layer has a number of products at the entry price point of 1 euro, 1 euro 50 and 2 euros, which are critical for both entry level but also as a viable snacking options between peak meal times. The early read of these changes are encouraging. The same store sales in Germany for the two periods of the new financial year is positive 5%. However, at this early stage, I would not yet recommend extrapolating this number. The Stuttgart region, in which we are the only franchisee and have 8 restaurants, allows us greater flexibility to test, and in conjunction with the franchisor, we'll be using this region to launch a program. We'll be looking to further elevate the KFC brand. In addition to incorporating a strong value proposition, the focus will be on elevating the customer experience through the use of kiosks, click and collect, a loyalty program, delivery, a much better drive-through experience, as well as the introduction of table service. This in conjunction with a more focused local marketing campaign and national brand refresh campaign will assist in elevating the KFC brand in this region. As discussed earlier, from a development perspective, we have changed our thinking in Germany, where we are now focusing on drive-throughs and surrounding areas as opposed to inline restaurants in the city centres. In FY20, we will open only one restaurant in Germany. In a major new development in the immediate vicinity of the main railway station in the city of Bonn. We have a number of drive-through restaurants in the pipeline that are currently under consideration, and we expect returning to 4 to 5 builds per year in the following years. We also expect to see the closure this financial year of a couple of the underperforming restaurants. In the Netherlands, we were impacted this year by the underperformance of a couple of key new product promotion campaigns, as well as fewer and less compelling value offers. There is a renewed approach from the franchisor around both new product promotions and value promotions, and this is underpinned by the recent appointment of a new chief marketing officer. Value, both everyday and disruptive value, will become a permanent feature in the marketing calendar. Currently, we have a disruptive value offer on the menu, which is €6.95 Euros on a Tuesday only, which is a bucket offering, and this will be followed by a €3.95 Euro variety value deal in July and August. The current new product promotion, the Zinger Double Taco, is resonating stronger with the consumers than previous new product promotions. So far, we have seen some positive impact with the changes in the Netherlands, generating marginally positive comparable sales in the first 8 weeks of trading this financial year. In conjunction with this renewed focus on value, the overall restaurant experience has been elevated through the introduction of multiple digital channels and support of the trialing of table service. Dumrock, our largest KFC restaurant in central Amsterdam, opened post a lengthy remodel with the introduction of kiosks, which has had a positive impact on the customer flow and experience. Those of you who have visited the restaurant know that it's a fairly narrow entrance that can quickly get congested, and the kiosks have played a positive role in managing this part of the customer experience. There are currently 2 restaurants under construction expected to open within the next couple of months, and we are planning a further 2 to 3 restaurants this year, bringing the total number of new builds for FY20 in the Netherlands to between 4 and 5 restaurants. We are continuing to develop a strong pipeline and believe we can continue to build new restaurants at this rate. Summarizing our overdevelopment on slide 13 of the deck, we built 4 new restaurants in Europe, 2 in Germany and 2 in Netherlands, and completed 7 major remodels, including Dumrock. The CapEx spent associated with this activity was approximately $13.6 million. We are expecting to deliver 5 to 6 new restaurants in FY20, 4 to 5 in the Netherlands and 1 in Germany. The new restaurant program in Germany will focus on drive-throughs only, and we are anticipating returning to between 8 and 10 restaurants in Europe per year from FY21 onwards. And as mentioned earlier, a review of the German restaurant base will lead to the likely closure of a couple of underperforming restaurants this year. Moving our attention to Taco Bell, towards the end of last year, we opened our 3rd and 4th restaurants in Cleveland and North Lakes, both in Queensland. As you can see from the pictures in the presentation, they are great-looking restaurants. From a personal perspective, the North Lakes restaurant is my favorite to date. Over the year, we introduced a number of promotional products, most notably the beefy potato rita and the steak and chipotle quesadilla. This month, we launched the chalupa. The chalupa is a unique Taco Bell product where the traditional hard corn taco shell is replaced with a delicious U-shaped deep-fried flatbread. You really need to try this product if you haven't already. Our contemporary restaurant designs and great value products continue to resonate well with our customers, and our restaurant sales and profits are in line with the expectations. Over the last 6 to 9 months, we've been putting a lot of focus on developing a strong pipeline of sites. In support of this, we have significantly strengthened our development resources and capability to ensure that we have the ability to deliver on the anticipated growth. While we continue to focus on building new sites in Queensland, we have been working on finding sites in Melbourne and are expecting to open our first Taco Bell restaurant in Victoria in Q1 of 2020. We are on target to open 10 Taco Bell restaurants this financial year. Same-store sales in Sizzler Australia was a strong 4.4%. However, the overall Sizzler revenues were down 8% for the year, driven by the closure of 2 restaurants in Australia. Overall, EBITDA was $4.9 million with a margin of 10.5%, up slightly compared with the prior year. Growth in Sizzler Asia continues to offset the decline in Sizzler Australia. The restaurant count in Australia is 12 as at the end of year, with the further closures since the year-end taking the current restaurant count to 11. The year ended with our Sizzler Asia footprint expanding by 4 net restaurants, taking the total restaurant count to 77. Royalty revenues for the year were up around 12.2% on the prior year as a result of sales growth and new units. I'll now hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. I am pleased to report the growth of our business is supported by our strong operating cash flow. Net operating cash flow before interest and tax was up to $125 million from $101.4 the prior year, reflecting EBITDA improvement and some working capital inflow. The net cash flow from investing activities was $63 million, comprising $7.5 million for the purchase of the final three KFC stores in Australia and $55.5 million for capital, which included $4.8 for intangibles, which includes new software and franchise fees. $55.5 million CapEx cash spend included new store and remodel CapEx in KFC Australia of circa $23 million, maintenance and other capital in KFC Australia of $7 million, and circa $14 million capital in KFC Europe. The balance was spent building 3 new Taco Bell restaurants and on other support center and systems capital. Net cash flow from financing of $15.4 million was due to dividends paid of $20.9 million, offset by bank loan borrowings of $5.5 million. Overall bottom line cash flow was a net positive inflow of $19.1 million. Net debt was down to $212.5 million from $227.2 million the end of last year. Net leverage ratio declined to 1.87 from 2.14 at the last year end. Our covenant for this metric is 2.75, and the bank facility is approximately $365 million. So we continue to operate well within our covenant and facility headroom. Looking at the balance sheet, the cash balance is up $19.3 million to $79.8 million. Property, plant and equipment is up $11.8 million to $176.7 million, reflecting the acquired restaurant assets and continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation. Total non-current assets are also up significantly due to the increase in goodwill as a result of the acquisition of the remaining 3 KFC restaurants from last year. Gross debt increased marginally to $291.3 million from $286.3 million. Over onto slide 26 of the presentation, the new lease accounting standard, AASB 16, is effective for FY20. We have adopted the modified retrospective approach, Under this method, comparative amounts will not be restated. The standard requires operating leases to be recognized as leased assets, the right to use the leased item, and lease liabilities, the present value of lease payments. Both of these are recognized on the balance sheet. The income statement will see occupancy costs significantly decrease, with depreciation on the leased asset and interest on the lease liabilities both significantly increasing over the lease term. The expected pro forma impact includes a decrease in occupancy expenses of $46 million, an increase in depreciation of $39.3 million, and also an increase in interest of $18.9 million on the income statement. On the balance sheet, there will be an increase in assets of $368.6 million, and an increase in liabilities of $366.9 million. The net impact on the income statement is expected to be minimal over time, but a significant reduction in net profit before tax of approximately $12.2 million in the coming financial year. These figures are estimated pro forma impacts only and may be materially different to actuals due to any changes in our lease portfolio and changes in significant judgment areas. There is no impact on debt covenants as leases will continue to be calculated under the old standard. Now back to Graham for a word on the priorities for our 2020 financial year.
Thanks, Nigel. The plan for our core KC Australian business is to further strengthen our operational systems, continue expanding the delivery network, and continue to test and drive digital initiatives while building another 9 to 10 new restaurants. Our focus for the KFC European business will be to drive sales growth through a renewed focus on value, transformation of the KFC brand in Stuttgart region, create back office efficiencies through the new financial system, and build a further 5 to 6 new restaurants. We will continue to establish and build the Taco Bell brand in Australia, open further restaurants in Queensland and into the Victorian market, while remaining focused on operational performance to ensure the business model returns are delivered. We plan to build 10 new restaurants this year. I'd now like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Apoorv Sehgal from UBS Investment Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just on delivery, it's obviously been a key driver in Australia. Can you talk to the incremental sales uplift you've seen for restaurants where delivery was introduced over the second half, or even FY19 more broadly?
Thanks, Paul. I'll ask Drew to answer that question.
Yeah, so thanks for the question. I think what we've seen is, we're happy overall as the delivery network expands. Clearly, when you get outside of some of the metro areas, you see that the initial volumes are a little bit lower. But overall, the growth rate that we've seen across those 64 stores with delivery has been pretty consistent. We're pretty pleased with it.
Okay, great. Second question, if I can. How are you seeing trends in chicken feed costs over, say, the last 6 months? And how have you, or how might you respond to that in terms of your chicken pricing?
Yeah, look, good question, Paul. We've got long-term, relationships with the poultry guys, which lead to fairly long contracts that are in place. And this is something that we've been working through with them of the last sort of 12, 18 months. We have covered ourselves contractually wise, probably the beginning of the year. So from our perspective, everything that we have from a poultry price or poultry impact from the grain is sort of baked through our numbers. We certainly have not seen any adjustments in our poultry prices as you would see in the normal market and place, and that's just as a relationship that we have with the poultry firm. So some flow through, but really quite minimal.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Just one final question, if I can. How are you seeing weather trends since the start of June in Netherlands and Germany, with the context of my question being that last year's summer was warmer than usual?
Yes. Look. So far this year, no, we haven't seen anything unusual from a weather perspective in Europe, and hopefully it doesn't get to the temperatures it did last year.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Cool.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Wassim Kesawani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Can I just confirm, with those stores, Graham, that you highlighted as being candidates for closure in Europe, they're part of the newly opened cohort of stores, and just are you able to confirm the costs associated with that?
Sure. The when we went into the marketplace, we picked up a number of stores that were in the Yum pipeline. So to answer your first part of the question, they are of the new stores that have been opened. As I'd indicated, I think in the last time we met, there were a couple that if I had my chance again, I wouldn't have opened them. We probably took it at face value on a couple of the restaurants. The bulk of our portfolio of restaurants in Germany are drive-throughs. We've got three train stations, and in effect, we had no in-lines. So we actually built a few in-lines on the back of the Yum list of opportunities. Where we've actually been hammered a bit by the in-lines is that in Germany, there is no retail trade, so to speak, on a Sunday. And typically in the centers of the cities, into the evening, the trade does drop off. So it's a great lunchtime and a great Saturday trade. But as soon as we go into dinner, it eases off and it's certainly minimal on the Sunday. So from actually an overall profitability perspective, these restaurants aren't viable going forward. So from our position, we will look to shut them down. Obviously, it's not as straightforward as that. We have made some impairments, and you'll see there is also provision for an onerous lease that is included in the significant items. From a people perspective, we will look to transfer them into other restaurants within the immediate area. So we don't see anything additional other than the numbers provided for in the significant items.
Okay, great. And then you noted that the new initiatives are having a positive impact on comps. I think you said 5%. Was that for the first couple of months in Germany, was it?
Yes, yeah, that's right. So the first 2 months post our year end, just slightly over the 5%. And then so we've now seen 3 months in a row of positive. But certainly in April, May and June was the launch of the stacking layer and goodies, and then the new value offering in the €5 for €5 box, along with the brand refresh, if you like, and certainly seeing some really good traction off the back of that. Now we would trust that would continue with the momentum, but we need to see how that sort of pans out during the course of the year. But very encouraging at this point in time.
Great. And then can I just ask similarly on the Australian business, over the first couple of months, you're obviously comping a sort of stronger period over first half 20, but can you sort of comment on trading there?
Sure. So I'll take that question. The Graham had alluded to the first two periods for this financial year. So far, we're coming in at 3.4%, so we're pretty pleased with the start to the year. So I think overall, the marketing right now to support the brand has been very effective, and so we're seeing a nice blend of value and the innovation really helping to drive those numbers. So far, so good.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wassim.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from James Ferrier from Wilsons. Please go ahead.
morning, guys. Thanks for your time.
Hi, James.
First question, to clarify, with the intended closure of some of those stores in Europe, if I heard you correctly on that previous question, Graham, you're saying you believe at this stage you've already captured any associated costs in the provisions you've taken in these accounts?
Yes, morning, James. Yes, yeah, no, we have. Yeah, so the provisions, so we've impaired four restaurants in Europe, and we have taken an onerous lease provision within the significant items in the year just gone.
Okay, great. With the Damrak refurbishment, could you give us an estimate of what it cost you in terms of lost sales and earnings?
Look, I would estimate it was probably around the 300,000 euros. Was the net impact. It was closed for about 5 weeks because it's a three-level restaurant. So it was a significant. It's a building that's over 400 years old. So it's quite a challenge for that. And so the remodel cost was around a 1.6 million euros.
Yep.
However, this the store is trading well above all the rest of the stores post its reopening.
And how is it trading relative to its weekly run rate pre the refurb?
Yeah, so it's probably at this point sort of mid single digits up versus the rest of the market, which is flat.
So I understand that component of the Europe result, and obviously the negative operating leverage from the negative same-store sales growth. The costs that sit below the store level in Europe, can you give us an estimate of what that is in a dollar value sense and where you see it going? Has it sort of reached its peak now and it flatlines, or what sort of trend does it look like from here?
Probably the second part of the question is easier, but I don't have the total number to hand on the above restaurants. We have put in a group financial system, started with it in Europe, and it's now running through its second period. And that has allowed us to provide a lot more capability to improve the productivity of accounts. What we had before is we had outsourced accounts in both countries, and it was on a linear scale. So every new restaurant that you added, you paid the equivalent amount of accounting costs. It was also fairly inefficient in consolidation of those. With our new system that we put in place, and it's all cloud-based and capable, we've been able to brought back instantaneous to Australia. We see much more productivity and efficiency coming through the accounting side of the back office. We also see consolidation, and certainly from a group perspective, and being a lot easier. So some of the higher level consolidation can actually be done here in Australia. And then as we build or add new restaurants to it, it should just be at a variable rate, not a not an index rate.
Yeah, understood. So at a store level, was the German network profitable during the period?
Yes, at a store level, yes.
Yeah, okay. Very good. On delivery, can you talk a bit about, perhaps this is one for Drew, the benefit you see for stores that are trading with multiple aggregators versus one? Is there a material benefit for having multiple aggregators?
Yeah, good morning, James. It's a good question. So of the 64 stores that we mentioned with delivery, about 40 of those do have both. Typically what we'll see is, the volume that does come out of it, we use largely incremental. We estimate around 70% because people typically will go to the platform first and then the brand. When we do add another concept, we do see an initial jump in sales. So far, we do look at point of presence when it comes to delivery, and we do think that we can continue to layer on or put additional aggregators into the same store and see incremental volume flow out of that.
Yep, understood. Thanks. And last question for me, perhaps Nigel. Can you tell us what the, I'm assuming it was an EBITDA loss for the full year for Taco Bell, and what your expectations are for underlying D&A and CapEx for the year ahead?
Yeah, so hi James. Taco Bell is obviously rolled up in the other, in the shared, in the segment. No, it was around $1 million of EBITDA loss, obviously profitable at store level, but there's G&A in there, so overall around $1 million loss in this year. D&A this year is obviously roughly $37 million. Next year we're expecting that to be very low 40s. And also capital we're expecting to be roughly around $75 million, reflecting all the new builds that we've got in the plan.
Yep, terrific.
Yes, so just on the loss within the Taco Bell, just to further build on Nigel's point, so there's obviously a loss this year, which we're reporting on, which is our FY19. We're expecting FY20 to be probably around the $2 million as we ramp up and with the opening costs and the overheads. FY21 will be pretty close to break even, with it becoming positive and contributing from FY22 onwards.
Thanks, Graham, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, a pleasure, James.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from James Barker from Morgans. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just a few from me. Was just interested in the expected closures in KFC Australia and also Sizzler next year.
Yeah, look, I think in Australia, look, the closures that we do have tend to be, for some reason, it can be a little bit obscure in some ways. I'll give you an example. So, for example, in Noosa, we had a small store in the older part of town. We opened a new store about 18 months ago in Noosaville, with the proviso that it would be a relocate, but we decided to leave Noosa open for a bit longer to see if it could trade on its own. So effectively, off the back of that, it couldn't manage on its own, so Noosa closed. So in that case, it's a positive for us in a way, because it was part of a relocate. And then there have been a couple of food courts that have had some closures. Other than that, we, the drive-through restaurants are in a great position.
Okay, thanks. And sorry, just on Sizzler.
Yeah, look on Sizzler. We have 11 at this point in time. We have for the last few years been working on the premise of managing our lease exposure. We certainly don't have significant lease exposure at this point in time. Probably at 18 to 24 months max from a lease exposure. So we're just sort of balancing those two. So just to confirm, the Sizzler Australian business is still well positive on an EBITDA, even post its operational G&A.
Got it. Okay, thanks. And just on the delivery aspect, I think at the last result you sort of flagged that you thought the number of stores would double, so probably close to 100 stores in Australia having delivery. Just interested, so you should see that roll out throughout 20, which should hopefully assist the comps?
Yeah, just to clarify that, I think when we were talking about 100, it was primarily kind of points of presence. So if you look at, the stores that have it today, 64 stores have it, but if you count the overlap, you're close to 100 points of presence, meaning looking at the individual platforms and adding those up. When it comes to the percentage of the portfolio that will have delivery, we do think if we're at about a quarter of the portfolio today that has at least one of the two platforms, we do think that over the next year or two, that total number could get closer to 100. Again, that's to a very large degree just dependent on the growth and expansion of the aggregators. So as they get outside the metro area into more regional, we will sort of follow along in that growth. So that should be still in front of us.
Okay, thanks. And just one final one. Just looking at the German rollout, obviously it's sort of been pushed back a little bit. If you don't sort of achieve the same store sales growth that you're after in FY20, have you got the ability to sort of push that out again until you start to see that sort of positive transaction growth?
Yeah, look, I mean, we'll be prudent in any ongoing CapEx decisions that we make. So certainly the base business is pivotal in terms of the decision to open new restaurants.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.